Man, it never gets old. The glorious sounds of the Rodecaster Pro. I mean, I can't get over it. I love that intro. Guys, welcome back to Misguided Shenanigans. My name's Nick, of course, with me, my West Coast brother from another mother, Finny. And Finny, we have got a guest today, which I know we're both super excited about. So I'm going to throw it to you. I want you to introduce Cedric to everybody because I'm really excited to get this thing going, man.
Yeah, so we've been talking about this for a couple months now. So a good friend of mine, Cedric, who has his own podcast called Awkward. And we've known each other for, almost 8-9 years now. Worked at the same company, lived in the same cities. We've all kind of taken similar paths, but we've lived in kind of a few different places together. And we're like, you know, let's do a podcast about, living in Atlanta or, when we left Jacksonville and just different things and just kind of get together and kind of see how it goes. So, welcome, Cedric.
Hey, everybody. I'm really excited to be on the podcast.
Nice.
We're super excited, man. I know we did a Zoom call it's probably a month ago now, where I got to meet you for the first time. And since I met you, I'm really fucking excited, man. I think this is great. So, Finny, why don't you kick us off, man? Let's see where this puppy goes.
Yeah. So, the three of us have all lived in Atlanta before. And so maybe let's start there. So I was born in Atlanta, left, and then came back. Nick, you moved down at what age? 14, 15, from Michigan, back then.
16. Yeah.
16. Back then, Nick did not say any F-bombs. It was holy shnikes and son of a biscuit eater during those times.
Yeah, yes, it was.
Double hockey sticks, if you will. Atlanta, really makes you grow up in a heartbeat. and then, Cedric, you moved there after living in Jacksonville for a few years. You moved there for, about a year or two? 3 years?
Yeah, I lived there for 3 years, and I won't say I regret it because I learned a lot, but I wasn't prepared for what Atlanta truly was outside of what I seen on TV because it was so glorified. I'm like, I need to go to Atlanta. But when you get down there, you start getting robbed and people are walking through like, this is the wrong fucking place for me. So, it was a little different.
For sure.
So
it's true, man. So I was never robbed. So I think we need to hear the story, number one. But I mean, there was a lot of situations where I probably could have been. It just depended on where you went in the city, right? Because there's some glorious, Phillips Arena, gorgeous, the Georgia Aquarium, gorgeous, Coca-Cola Museum, gorgeous. And then a couple streets over, not gorgeous. it was a rough fucking neighborhood, man. It just depended on where you went.
that one right there.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Now, where did you, when you live there, did you go there for a job or you just went because you were like, fuck it, man, I got to go to Atlanta. I'm going.
Oh, see, this is, I feel like we're jumping into everything already. Because I have,
we are
a lot to say how I actually got to Atlanta. Because I don't even know if Daniel knows. So this is, should I go into that story first, or should I talk about my experience in Atlanta?
Let's go into how you got there.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to be very candid and tell the truth on the podcast. I never tell the truth. This is the first time. I actually, when I lived in Jacksonville, around 2015, I lost my vision. So I went completely blind in 2015 out of nowhere. I had a degenerative eye disease that was hereditary. I knew nothing about. I had 20/20 vision one day. I'm staring at a computer screen. And the next day I'm like, what's going on? Why is this blurry? And then the next day after that, I'm like, let me go get glasses. I go to one glass place. I went to one place. They're like, yeah, we don't have anything that's work for you here. Try another, you need to go to an actual place. Because I was in Target. I'm going to tell the truth. So the first time I'm sitting in Target, I'm like, damn, Target, you have deceived me. So I go to another place, and then they tell me, hey, yeah, we still don't have any lens here that will help you. So it was just trial and error for about 2 weeks. as my vision got worse within the 2 weeks because it was very rapid. And I was told at that time, hey, you need to go see a specialist. And when I went to go see the specialist, I found out that I was actually going blind. So I spent the year of my life completely blind until I had a corneal transplant. So I have a dead person's eye now.
Wow. What?
So now that I don't work at the company anymore, I can tell the full story. I knew I wanted to move to Atlanta, but I had to think of like a master plan to get out of Jacksonville. I was like, how the fuck can I do this and have a job at the same time and not lose stuff? So I found out through research that it was a huge eye institution in Atlanta. They specialize in like eye surgeries, Emory Eye Institution.
Yeah, Emory is really amazing.
Organization, all these places donating. I'm like, this is going to work for me. I'm going to tell them, and I feel really bad now because I'm telling like everything. But I'm like, I'm going to tell them that I need to move to complete something or to heal or something. So I just thought of everything. I was like, this is going to work out for me. Told them because I was miserable as hell in Jacksonville. And I was able to move to Atlanta for the eye institution. So that's how I got to Atlanta to begin with. Nobody knows that. So first time on your podcast, everybody knows.
Wow. No shit, man. That's crazy.
Well, yeah. And we both, me and Nick also worked for that company. And we can say, you know what?
There too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nick had two stints. He worked in one division when I first started. And then
Sales.
I went to retention. He went left. And then he came back on when I was in account management. He came back on to one of my teams. And so, but yeah, we both worked there. And I would say, fuck that place. Just saying, fuck that place.
I mean.
You're not there anymore.
I actually, that's true. I'm not. I'm with a different company now. So yeah, fuck that place. I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, it was literally a shit show. I mean, it was that bad. But that's no. So it's interesting how you got to Atlanta. Like I ended up, we were living in Michigan. I was born in Michigan, moved to Chicago for a couple of years back to Michigan. Then so finally, when I was 15, my parents were like, "Oh, hey, we have family in Georgia, so we're gonna move." And I was like, "What the fuck? Fucking Georgia of all places, right?" Like I was not excited. I knew what I was going to have to deal with when I first moved to Georgia. And I've got some stories. Like I've had the biggest issues with the rednecks. Actually, that's not even true. Yeehaw. The rednecks had the biggest issues with me because when I first got there and Finney, I don't know if you can remember that this Finney, but when I first got there, like everybody was like, "Hey, you motherfucker, go back up north, you fucking cracker piece of shit." Like, holy shit, man. Like, what are you talking about? I just got here. Like, but they were like, "You need to go back up north. We hate you. We don't want you. Confederate rules. Yeah. Whoa. All right." And I'm going, holy shit. What did I just move into? Like, it was unreal. And then, you know, long story short, like I still have my best friends, the entire world in Georgia, and they vary from redneck to whatever. But man, yeah. When I first moved to Georgia, holy shit, man, it was a mess. My high school career sucked ass. I'm just going to say it. It sucked ass.
It's a culture shock. So I was born in Atlanta, yeah, but we left when I was in third grade. So I don't remember much of it, right? And then lived in North Carolina. And then my freshman year in high school, we moved back. Now, I'm living in Blue Ridge Mountains, North Carolina. Graduating class, 70 people for high school. And I moved to Georgia in the metro Atlanta area where my graduating high school class is 756 people. I went from playing every sport, baseball, hockey, soccer, football, was on all those teams. And then I go to like look at the football team and they are 6'5", 350 pounds, farm boys. And I'm like, nope, done. I'm 4'10", not even 100 pounds soaking wet. Like, nope, done. Like my sporting days are over. But it was a culture shock. Like, I went from being a very social kid to being like really like to myself. And that's how I met Nick, because I, even though I was born there, like I didn't get along with all the rednecks, and it was such a culture shock. Like, okay, he's a new kid too. Like, he seems like a nice kid. Like, let's hang out. Like, and that's how we met. So, but no, it's, it's a culture shock when you first get there.
Yeah. And the city itself, I mean, just like the traffic alone was awful. But just the city itself, like, I mean, I moved from Grand Rapids, Michigan, right? At the time, Grand Rapids was not a huge city. It was not a big city. And so moving to Atlanta and like, I mean, you've got side streets that go one way and then you turn again onto another one way and then you fucking make a square and you're back in the same place. You know what I mean? Like it was absolutely insane. It was insane.
285. You keep going around in a circle. You miss your exit. You just keep going. Like you can. I've heard stories of people like getting on 285 and someone gave them the wrong street. Yeah. And they went all the way around in the complete circle.
Atlanta is definitely not even made for the amount of people that are there. The expressways, everything's too small and it's too many people there. So that's one thing.
Well, MARTA.
Yeah.
So, Cedric, did you ride MARTA at all while you were in Atlanta?
I have. Oh, so that's another story. I did have to ride MARTA, and that was my what the real ghetto was when I got on the MARTA. I think I probably knew that COVID was coming before it happened because I got on the MARTA. It was really dirty and nasty, but I had to go to work. But I don't know if if you can visualize what filth is, like when you're like, damn, that person's filthy. You would feel like that when you step on the MARTA. You don't even have to sit down. You just know that you're covered in the nastiest air and the nastiest fucking bacteria that it is in Georgia. The MARTA is disgusting.
It's like, hold my breath so I don't get hepatitis C.
Right. It's exactly like I never as many. And I rode MARTA all the time because I did radio downtown for a couple years. And so like I would ride MARTA every so often, and like I would get on and like I would just put my hands in my pocket and I would like lean my shoulder, like my coat up against the rail just to hold myself up, because there was no way in hell I was touching anything on that fucking train. It was disgusting. Like they never cleaned it. Like fucking dude, the homeless people would go in there and they'd piss in the corner or they'd piss under the seat. Like I saw it happen. Like it happened on the MARTA train.
All the people on there, it would still be going on. Why can't I sit here? Somebody sleep there. That's their home. I'm like, okay, well, I'll try the back of the train then today.
Yeah. I mean, like, or you know what? Get off at a stop and pee and then get back on. Like, I mean, it was disgusting, dude. It was disgusting.
So MARTA, the way it was designed, the last stop goes to... But do you know why it goes there, though? Riches was a big store, big department store. And the mall that was there, that's no longer a mall, it's like a flea market type of thing, whatever it is now, they paid to have that stop be the last stop so that when people came off, they had to go into their store. Riches paid big money for that. Wow. And because Riches, one of their headquarters was Atlanta. And then they go belly up, the whole place goes down. And then you look at how it's stretched out, and you're like, well, this doesn't really make sense. And it's because of that. And then the other thing is the timing. So I remember going to Music Midtown, and me and the girl I was dating at the time and one of my really good friends I'm still good friends with and his girlfriend were all going down to Music Midtown. And we're there, go through the concerts and everything, get on MARTA. We miss our stop. And all of a sudden, they're like, yes, everybody off now. MARTA's closed. And because it didn't stay open later when there was concerts and stuff. Like, it was just like, nope, we're done. Bye. And so,
it's like, still like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like,
it's still like that. On concert days and stuff, for some weird reason, everything closes early.
Oh, yeah.
So I never understood that when I lived there.
No, you think.
It probably prevents a shit ton of puke being on the MARTA train. I'm just saying.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I can deal with some piss. Like, I get it. I can deal with that. But, man, you're talking, you've got thousands upon thousands of people that are drunker than shit getting onto a MARTA train that's like, well, we're not on YouTube today, but, yeah, but it's just bouncing and going from side to side. Dude, it's got to be simply just to keep the train, like, fairly clean.
One more time.
One more fairly clean.
Yeah.
Like it just, oh, God, I don't miss that. Oh.
Well, and then you got the traffic because all the one-way streets and then every other fucking street in that city is Peachtree Street. Peachtree Avenue, Peachtree something.
Yo, stop. I'm having flashbacks. No matter where you, it's a Peachtree Street on every side of town. No matter where I was at, I'm on something Peachtree. I'm like, where am I? I worked on my two jobs because I worked at two different companies when I was there. They were 30 minutes apart. Both of them, Peachtree Street, Peachtree Corners. So I was like, does all this connect together or is everything here a peach?
Well, here's the thing. Like, peaches are not even from Georgia. That's South Carolina. Like, the big water tower with a peach. Like, I don't know where, like, this whole thing came with Georgia peaches. Like, I really don't. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Because as far as I know, there's not even peach farms there. But whatever. I don't know. But, yeah. Like, every other corner is Peachtree. Peachtree something.
Yeah. I mean, that's the radio station I worked at was on Peachtree Street. I mean, it's right in the heart of downtown on fucking Peachtree Street.
Oh, that's why
there was like
Peachtree Street downtown too.
Yep. Yep. Well, yeah, I'm sure that you would probably know the building I was talking about then. I won't say any names on here because I don't, you know, who the fuck knows, but but no, so I'm super curious though, Cedric. You said that you got robbed when you were in Atlanta.
Oh, so yeah, awful story.
Okay. Okay.
I have crippling social anxiety, so I don't have any friends to throw that out there to start the story off. So, I moved to, I don't know the size of town. I think when I told Daniel, it was like, he said it was the north side of Atlanta, like closer to like the Dunwoody area.
Okay, yep. Yeah.
I don't know the size that well, but I moved to that area right before I relocated to Los Angeles. And I got a call at like 6 o'clock in the morning, five times, again at 10 o'clock in the morning. I never answered my phone. So I'm like, who's calling me? Nobody has my number. I don't have any fucking friends. Who's calling me? It's a bill collector. And I'm like, I'm not answering the phone because I don't have the money to pay you today. So around this time of like later that evening, I've got all these calls. I walk to my car. My car is completely destroyed. Completely. And this is November. So this was a few months. It hasn't even been a full year. I walk outside. My car is completely destroyed. I'm like, I just stopped for a moment. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't know to call the cops. I'm just like, damn, this is bad. And I like, my first thought was go back in the house and go to sleep. I don't have time today. Cause I really didn't have, I was like, this is some bullshit. I prefer to go to sleep. So I pick up the car. I noticed the cops had already been there. And they were calling me to tell me that my car was broken into.
No.
Wow.
So are you talking like, was your car on like cinder blocks and shit? Like, did they just completely dismantle the whole car?
They took I had a laptop in the car and they took my AirPods. But when I called back, they're like, it was a string of break-ins in this area and they just broke in multiple cars and your car happened to be one of them. And that was that story. But it was really bad. My car was like 2 months old. I had it for 2 months at that time. So I'm like, I just got this car. Yeah. But I'm used to shitty luck. So I was like, I'm going to laugh about this. I might go to sleep later, but I still have the car. But that's an awful story. That's really awful that people waste their time to do that to hardworking people too. I'm like,
oh yeah,
I don't have anything. Rob a rich person.
Well, and so you bring this up and I have been robbed. As a matter of fact, because your car story brought this up. I was working at the Mall of Georgia, at one of the stores at the Mall of Georgia.
Which is a nice area.
It is a very nice area. Or at least it was. I don't know if it's anymore, but it was.
Probably not.
But I had a 92 Jeep Grand Cherokee, right? It was burgundy. Oh. It was actually in really good shape for a 92. And so the radio that was in it was from a 92 Jeep Grand Cherokee. So it had a fucking tape player in it. So I went to Best Buy and I spent like $60, right? Like I was in retail, but I didn't make shit for money. So I put $60 or $70 into this radio. I had Best Buy install it and it had a CD player. I was like, fuck yeah, here we go. And so the second day I had it, I went to work and I went in at 8 a.m. And so I walk in and everything's good. And so me and my buddy come out at noon to go to lunch. And sure enough, some motherfucker took a screwdriver and popped the lock out, because at that time it was a 92. There was no keyless entry then, or if there was, I didn't have it. And they popped a screwdriver through the lock, popped the lock out, and took my radio, my $60 radio. I was like, son of a bitch, I'm never buying another radio. So I put the old tape player back in it. Nobody ever broke into it again, because who the fuck wants a tape player?
I felt the same way when you said you weren't buying another. I called my mom after that. I was like, I don't even want this car. I'll walk.
Yeah.
Let yeah. them steal these shoes. I'll walk. Because you just it really just kills your spirit.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah.
To know, but you said it, man. You said it. Like, we work hard for what we have. Like, I work hard for what I have. We all do. And then to have some dipshit that just wants a stereo to go sell for fucking whatever he wants to sell it for, like, or she, whatever, he, she, whatever. It doesn't matter who it is. Like, it just sucks, man. Like, there's no, it doesn't make sense to me, because I've never thought that way. And I've never had, like, really nice shit, you know, until now. Like, the wife and I, like, we get, you know, we have a nice TV. I mean, so, well, we got a couple of decent cars. Best
things to give away are like Jeff Bezos or somebody.
That right.
They won't know you took their tape player. Go to their house.
Seriously. So, they've probably got a backup in their room. Like, come on. Get out of here.
I kind of have a reverse experience of this. So when I used to go to a lot of concerts in Atlanta, and when I was going to concerts and stuff, I went through a phase where I was like colored hair. I used to wear a choker around my neck, had a ring on every finger, all black from head to toe, used to wear steel toe boots. And
painted your fingernails.
Yeah, painted my fingernails, wore eyeliner, like makeup, the whole deal, right? So I'm walking through Atlanta, going to these concerts, and where you would park, especially to go to the masquerade and places, are not the best places in town, right? And even when you pay for parking for the event, your car can still get broken into. However, no one would ever mess with me. And I'd be walking by myself through these streets at like midnight. And I would go through and I'd see a homeless person sit there like playing the drums or like asking for food. And so I'd be like, oh, you know, I've got some money or I've got some left. And I go to give it to them and they start running from me. I guess they thought I was some like Columbine kid or something. Like all they saw is this dude walking up to him in all black with like rings and like freakish looking makeup. And people would take off and run from me. I'm like 5 foot five. 5 foot seven at this time. Been 5 foot seven. 5 foot six at this time. And like, they're scared of me and they're running from me. I'm like, I'm trying to give you money, dude. Like, and they would leave their cups of money there. And I'd be like, all right, well, I'm adding $5 here, man. Sorry. Like, but I learned if you dress like that, people would leave you alone. If you dressed up like all preppy and like normal, like you'd be the person they would mug.
I thought this story was going somewhere else where you said this is a reverse story and you start describing that you had eyeliner and everything. I think you're gonna say I broke in 10 cars that day.
No. I meant like from like I would have people. No. Maybe it's not a reverse story, but like a weird kind of But I learned like living in Atlanta, like you almost have to appear like you're tougher than you really are, so people would leave you alone. Because if you're like show any sign of weakness, like people would eat you alive. Or if they saw you had a nice car, nice things, like they would steal from you. It was, you know, living in Atlanta was fun. I don't regret all of it. But then there's a lot of things I wish, like, it's like, man, I don't ever want to live back there.
Yeah, I wouldn't go back. I think my parents are wanting to go back. Just because they've, you know, we've still got aunts and uncles and cousins there, but I'll never leave North Carolina. I'm pretty sure I'll be here for the rest of my life. Atlanta, nope. I'll go visit.
I'm trying to think about the things I liked about it, so I can agree. I'm still thinking, but I'll have something in about probably 5 minutes. I did like that sometimes Kroger had discounts on Wednesdays. I think that counts for something.
That's true.
That they did.
That's true. Yeah,
they did. And Kroger was a great grocery store, by the way.
Kroger.
I love Kroger.
Yeah. We found something.
Yes.
We did.
Yes.
there was a plus.
I did not like it, man. Daniel, I it was not for me at all. It was terrible.
Yeah. It was it's fun when you're like in high school and a high school kid, but when you start getting old, and well, I can't even say that because I had a miserable high school. So no, I agree with you. No, like I've got some good memories. I've got a lot of bad memories though too. So like, yeah.
Yeah. And that's
memories because you make them, but like, as far as like the overall experience, you really think about it. And I think I'm comparing it to now living in Los Angeles. It's like, yeah, Atlanta was shitty.
That's the other thing. Like traffic in Los Angeles compared to traffic in Atlanta. I remember Atlanta being shut down, trying to get to a concert. We left early because we're going to tailgate. And we're passing the football down I-85 because traffic's shut down. And like nobody knows how to merge. Nobody knows how to drive. But then I get out here in LA traffic. It's not as bad. Like, and then I know we're coming out of a pandemic and stuff, but I've not seen the same things I saw in Atlanta. Like Atlanta.
I agree.
It's like they're all driving like they're on the Autobahn.
It was crazy. I stayed in the Midtown area at one point when I first moved. And this is no lie. I don't want you to like say he has to be lying about this. Every 3 to 4 weeks, a car would flip off the expressway behind my apartment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What?
That particular area, I'm like, damn, somebody else?
Is this the same person? What the fuck?
Is he doing this again?
They forgot it was a loop and tried to take a right.
And it is.
Oh my God.
Like you said, it all runs back into the same thing. And I just was like, I don't want to do this again. I'm tired of driving in a circle. I'm going to drive off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We don't have to deal with that type of shit in North Carolina.
Well, on that note, we're about out of time, so we're going to wrap up this episode, and then we're going to do another one with Cedric here talking about Jacksonville and leaving Jacksonville since we all live there. So thanks for listening, guys. It's been great. Cedric, what's the name of your podcast?
It's Awkward Podcast. I am not currently releasing any episodes, but I'll be back soon.
Cool. Awesome. Again, excellent. Like us on all the social media channels. And other than that, we'll see you guys next week.
Peace out.